Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. Do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a Magic Wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the Magic Wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades, and I've been obsessed with my Magic Wand. I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago, because now there are multiple iterations of the Magic Wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the Magic Wand Rechargeable, tiny with the Magic Wand Mini, or micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's PROMESCENT.com/Emily. Promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Desire and arousal, it doesn't just hit you over the head. We don't just walk around and you're going to be all of a sudden in the mood. I encourage you to look at your arousal cycles and think about what really gets you in the mood and make an effort to work on that anxiety and the stress.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. All right, everyone, welcome to the show. If you're a new listener, I'm so glad you're here. We have so many episodes about all the questions that you have about sex. You can always email me feedback@sexwithemily.com or check out our website. We just refreshed it. You can send it through the Ask Emily form there. All right, today's show, I'm encouraging you to look at what's been holding you back from having sex. So I'm going to identify 6 roadblocks that are holding you back from being sexual. I mean, maybe you're too stressed or anxious or taking a medication that's dampened your libido. Maybe you don't want your partner to see you naked. Well, in this episode, I'm sharing practical tips on how you can overcome some of the most common barriers to sex. We all have our unique roadblocks. But I want us all to get into the growth mindset around sex. I'm also answering your direct questions about what to do if your wetness level is inconsistent during sex, the relationship between watching porn and cheating, how to handle a jealous partner, and what to do if your partner has a fetish, but lockdown has made it super challenging to fulfill his fantasy. All this and more. All right, intentions with Emily. For each episode, join me in setting an intention. I do it. I encourage you to do the same. So what I mean is when you're listening, what do you want to get out of this episode? It could be, Wow, yeah, I've been really stressed and anxious lately, and I don't want sex. How do I get in the mood again? Well, my intention is to lay out the roadblocks and see if you recognize yourself in any of them, because remember, we all deserve pleasure. All right, enjoy the show. Before I get into your questions, I want to talk about the roadblocks to sex. What is getting in your way of being turned on, of wanting to be with your partner, or even wanting to be with yourself? Hey, masturbation is sex with someone you love. So I identified some common roadblocks, but first, I have an email, and this is what got me thinking about it. This is from Owen28 in Ireland. Hey, Emily, I'm a new listener to your show all the way from Ireland, and I love it. Do you have any advice for me? I've been with my partner almost 9 years. We've been together since we finished school, and I love her dearly. However, lately, our lack of sex has really started to play in my mind. The sex has been infrequent over the last 10 years, and lately it's just been less and less. I am deeply in love with her. She's my best friend. We have a great relationship outside the bedroom. And for years, she's told me our sex life would be better once we have our own place, and now we moved into our own place since last October, and we've hardly had sex 10 times. We've talked so many times about it. I've done what you advised. I've expressed an honest, open, calm manner that I'm just not happy with our sex life. I've bought toys with her consent. I've tried to encourage her to mutually masturbate. No luck. Outside the bedroom, she agrees to new things, but we never do them. We generally have sex in just a few positions. After every talk, she always says she's going to make more of an effort, but nothing's changed. I'm out of ideas. Any help would be greatly appreciated. Thanks, Owen. All right, Owen, here's why this hit me. You've tried a lot of the things that I suggest all the time. Have communication with your partner outside the bedroom. Try to find out what she's into. Experiment with toys. And she's still finding herself not in the mood for sex. So this got me thinking, because I get so many emails from you. You know, this thing about mismatched libidos, one partner wants more, the other partner wants less, it's very common in relationships. So I thought I want to point out here are the 6 common roadblocks to sex and what you can do about them. See if you recognize yourself or your partner. Number 1, body image, insecurities, self-esteem, those negative beliefs about ourselves, whether it's, you know, performance or appearance, that keeps us. Do you realize that how much worrying about your body and how you look in the bedroom keeps you from being present sexually? It just keeps us in this self-sabotaging loop. Now, you know, we've all had moments, right? Sometimes we're worried about our body weight. I know that men are often worried about their penis size. If you want to know how I feel about that, we talk about it a lot on the show, but your penis is great the way it is. We worry that our bodies are lacking, no matter what the body part is. And let me tell you about this, about our body shape. These are internal messages that we've subscribed to ourselves. We started telling ourselves these messages. Now, yes, maybe you had someone in your past that shamed you. That is true. We've all had moments maybe that people didn't make us feel good. But now, as an adult, you get to change that message. So you might be leaving, I am bad because of your body. If you think that you are bad because of your body, that steals joy, and then it has you searching for external validation, which is like a joy zapper. Maybe you like sex in the dark, or you keep your bra on, or you don't want to take a shower with a partner. I mean, every time we set this barrier up with a partner that's keeping us from sex, we're keeping ourselves from intimacy, and we're keeping ourselves from pleasure. So how do we break the cycle of our self-esteem and not loving our bodies? I'll say it again. Stop following people on Instagram that make you feel bad. Put the boundaries around the messages that we're seeing. Now, this is a process. It doesn't mean that you wake up one day and you're like, I love my body. Think of it more like body neutrality than even body love. Look for positive, healthy examples of ourselves to reinforce the process of undoing the damage by society and others. And then you get to follow healthy people who emulate healthy beauty standards. I'm going to give you an exercise. It's called an exposure exercise, where you can walk around naked, give yourself a loving massage, look in the mirror, sleep naked, walk around naked, give yourself a loving massage, masturbation, sex with someone you love. Once you start to masturbate in a healthy way, and I often have to encourage vulva owners to do this more than penis owners, but once you learn how to give yourself an orgasm, you're going to start to learn to realize how incredible your body is. Reframe your body from a loving perspective. I want you to stand in front of the mirror. And if you're looking at all these things that you hate about your body, I'm going to encourage you to say, huh, my neck. I like my neck. I like my hair. I like my left knuckle. Replace the negative self-talk with positive messages. You can journal about it. You can keep notes in your phone. Because remember this, every single time we put up a barrier with our partners, we're just reinforcing a cycle of body negativity. And this is what's keeping you from feeling sexual, feeling sexy, and being in your body. All right, number two, stress and anxiety. Who's not stressed these days? Am I right? We've all had experiences where we are super stressed, we're anxious. You know, it could be work, our money, our job, our family. And what happens is when we're stressed and anxious, we experience more of a tightness in our body and it literally stops the blood flow, especially if we're in our head, we're worrying and we're spinning and we're not connected to our body and quite literally to our genitals. Think of it this way. If you're in your head worried and anxious, the blood's rushing away from your genitals and going right to your head. And then that keeps us from being confident in our bodies, being intimate with our partners, makes it harder to orgasm. So how do you deal with anxiety? Now, you've heard all the anxiety tips, right? People tell you to meditate, to eat healthy, you know, get better sleep, better exercise. All of that's important. I think we all have to figure out ways to work on our anxiety. And I can tell you, I don't think it ever goes away. We'll have periods that we're more anxious and less anxious. But the important thing is to remove this block. So what I want you to do for the anxiety and stress when it comes to sex, start to prioritize the sex life you have with your partner. How important is it if you're realizing now that stress and anxiety is keeping you from sex and that's important to you, do some research on your own and think about, when am I really turned on? When were the last three times you've had sex that I was in the mood? What was happening before that? What was the sex life that we were having that was the most enjoyable? And then think about it. Maybe you were really relaxed. Maybe you had a massage right before. Maybe you got back from a great workout. Maybe you'd been eating healthy for a while and you were feeling, you know, more in your body. Maybe you guys were on vacation. Maybe that tells me you need some time to get away, get a hotel room. Desire and arousal, it doesn't just hit you over the head. We don't just walk around and you're going to be all of a sudden in the mood. So if you're someone who's highly anxious, highly stressed, I encourage you to look at your arousal cycles and think about what really gets you in the mood and make an effort to work on that anxiety and the stress. Number three, the media. Okay, the media rarely shows accurate depictions of intimacy. Think about it. Even in Hollywood movies, it skips right over the foreplay, right over the safe sex. And a lot of these scenes really show consent, the starting and stopping, the funny parts of sex, when you get a cramp, and porn. I mean, don't get me started on porn. I sit there looking at porn going, that is just nowhere near reality. It's not teaching us how to be great lovers. Maybe it's making us feel bad about our bodies, and it's just not helpful. So in this case, I want you to just take a look and think, am I watching media, television? Do I follow people on Instagram that make me feel less than? Do I have a depiction about sex that's actually accurate? I encourage you to do your own research and to start looking around for more accurate representations of sex. Start talking to your partner and creating your own sexual movies. I don't mean making a sex tape, but you could do that. But think about, could I read erotica to my partner? Could we read it to each other in the bathtub? Could we actually find some porn that feels good to me? Can we find some scenes? Can we find some things that depict people that look like me, that act like me, and don't make me feel less than? So really, this just comes down to education. How can you educate yourself on what realistic sex looks like? Again, listening to this podcast is a great start. Listening to it with your partner. Do you know how many couples tell me that they listen together and it's sort of been a mini sex therapy / turn on and it's changed the trajectory of their sex life? All right, the next one, number four, shame. Shame, shame, shame. If you grew up in a home where it was a loaded topic in your family, or maybe you heard the messages that sex is just for marriage, that's all you need to know. These are not helpful messages. Or maybe you were slut shamed, or maybe people told you that, you know, good girls don't have sex. Sexual shame is not just a religious issue, but it happens in a lot of religious communities. And then what we see is people grow out of these communities, even if you're not practicing the religion or living under your parents' roof, it's going to stick with you. Because if you've been hearing a message your entire life as a child, you know, you only got to wait for marriage and sex is only for procreation, you bet that when you start having sex, it doesn't mean that all that early messaging and wiring is just going to go out the window, that you're all of a sudden going to know how to be a great lover and you're going to be able to switch this mindset. And especially if you had education that was abstinence only. God, our education's bad. So what I recommend if you're checking yourself and you're like, wow, yeah, you know what? That sounds like me. I don't feel good when I have sex. I actually feel worse after. I don't even feel sexual. How do you unblock that? Well, if you're struggling with sexual shame, how you overcome it is start by having empathy for yourself, not rejecting yourself. Make this decision. How do you want to be sexual? What does that actually look like to you? How important is sex to you? Are you understanding now as an adult who can make your own decisions that maybe the earlier messages you heard didn't serve you? Because then you can come from a place of information rather than ignorance. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but you simply were not given accurate information. I grew up without accurate information. So many of us, you know, we just go off and start having sex. And maybe we learned one or two things in sex ed or, you know, worse yet, we had some negative conditioning around it. How are we supposed to know? So check your messages around sex. Check what still serves you. And if it doesn't serve you, get rid of it. So you're unblocking it by deciding that you want to get educated around sex. Read books. Again, listen to this podcast. And I believe that it's only when a person accepts their sexuality as an aspect of themselves that's important and not something that's an external thing. That's when you can truly begin to heal from the shame. That's the only way it's going to promote your sexual health and values. It's going to help your life, your relationship, and your soul. I mean, sex is spiritual. Remember this too. Brené Brown says this so well. The antidote to shame is having empathy and compassion for ourselves. Because if you're not going to give it to yourself, who is? Number 5 is trauma. Any kind of sexual trauma, assault, sorry to say, that is going to impact our ability to give and receive pleasure and to really be in our bodies for a full sexual experience. When we experience a trauma, even if it was years ago, it doesn't go away. And in fact, over time, trauma can exacerbate and it can really have an impact on our ability to be aroused and turned on by our partner. And our trauma can be triggered by so many things. Our senses, it could be you touch something or you smell something or words. I mean, those are all part of intimacy. Also, if you've had a trauma and you feel that that is something that's holding you back, if you're with a trusted, loving partner, I would share that with them. I would let them know that when certain sex acts happen or you see certain things, that it triggers you and it makes you feel that you can't be sexual. Listen, we're only as sick as our secrets. So my advice is therapy. I recommend trauma therapy. You could try a somatic-based therapy or EMDR therapy, which is eye movement desensitization reprocessing. It actually helps you rewire your brain around a certain traumatic experience. You can find more about it at emdria.org. That's EMDRIA.org. And finally, the final roadblock, your health and medications. I don't know why we go on medications and doctors don't tell us that there's going to be side effects. Antidepressants, there could be a side effect that's going to dampen your libido, delay orgasm, causes our hormones to fluctuate. Maybe you wanted the birth control pill and they didn't tell you. Medications, these side effects, I'm telling you, if you have a side effect from a medication, you do not have to live that way. I understand if you went on antidepressant and now you feel happy, but you don't want to have sex. That's something we can work on. Go back to your doctor and let them know you're having a side effect, no matter what the medication is. There's so much they can do right now, so you don't just have to say, well, I guess I'm on a medication. I'm never going to have an orgasm again. No, you don't have to live that way. And remember, when we eat well, we exercise, we meditate, we take care of our bodies, we're going to be more in the mood for sex. It just works that way. We're going to have better blood flow. So I encourage you to look at these roadblocks. Did any of them speak to you? Have a growth mindset around sex. How can you pick just one of these and say, you know what? I'm going to start to take the first step. So going back to our email. Owen, what I was thinking of reading your email is listen to this with your partner. Can she identify any one of these that might be the reason? This is not to shame or make her feel bad, but she might not know why she doesn't want sex. If people knew why they didn't want sex, they'd start having sex again. And I'm telling you, I hear it every single day, you know, not just in Owen's email, but people who just don't understand why, or their partner doesn't want it, or they want it more than their partner. So check out these roadblocks, share this with a friend, And I want us all to get into a growth mindset around sex. How can I grow just a little bit? Remember, nothing changes and happen overnight. Let me know if I spoke to any of your roadblocks here. Of course, there's many of them, but I wanted to give you a jumping off point because that's what I do. I want to help you. All right, let me know. You can email me feedback@sexwithemily.com. After the break, I'm talking to Sammy, whose husband loves when she gets haircuts, but she can't go to the salon due to lockdown. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Let's talk to Sammy, 36, in Ohio.
Well, thank you for having me.
Of course.
I've been wanting to call for quite a while, but I just never got the nerve to do it. So basically, my husband has this, I guess you would call it a fetish, because he gets really turned on when I get my hair cut, like when I get it cut short. So over the years, I just, you know, it kept getting shorter and shorter, and then it finally got to like a bob, and that's where it stayed. Well, COVID, obviously we couldn't get out, so it started to grow back. And I love it. My sister tells me how great it looks. And I know he wants me to get it cut. And that's always been like, I guess you would say, kind of like a part of our sex life, just because I knew, well, if I get a haircut, we're going to have awesome sex. So I just don't know what to do.
Wow, Sammy. Okay. This is so interesting. So would you actually, we're classifying it as a fetish, right? Because it's actually a requirement for him to get turned on, or no?
I guess I would say a fetish, because it's like, it was something he hid for a long time, obviously. He just like, oh, let's get your haircut. And then finally I figured it out. So it's definitely going to be a fetish, because no lie, exaggeration. Like, I can get my haircut, and right then it's just, you can see it in his eyes when he watches me get my haircut. So
he
I guess
watches
it would be a fetish.
Yeah, no, that sounds like it. So, Sammy, here's a few things. How do you feel about it? So it never really bothered you before. It's just that now you're realizing we actually can't do that. Or do you like your hair longer?
So, yeah, it never bothered me. And when I found out, like, it to me, it was awesome, just because, you know, like, when you care about somebody and you have that, like, he is 100% my soulmate. And when he gets excited, it makes me excited.
Yes.
So I loved it. But now okay. I'm just kind of back and forth, because I want to let my hair grow out. It's been short for so long.
Yeah.
But I just don't.
Okay. Well, here's the first thing that came to my mind, Sammy. What if you got a wig and you got a bunch of really cool wigs?
You're good. Yeah. This is why people call.
I mean, Sammy, you could even get hot, sexy wigs. You could get all different colors. You get long ones, short ones, curly ones. And then you could even dress the part. And not only are you getting your haircut, but you show up in this wig. Then you could get a haircut, or you could have a friend cut it, or he could cut it maybe. And then it doesn't matter. But yeah,
wow.
That's what I think. And that's now awesome. It becomes a, yeah, let's do that. He could even be the barber and cut your hair. And then he never knows who you're going to show up as. So that's what I think you should.
That's very true.
Yeah. Make it a whole thing.
Well, that's my idea. I really appreciate that.
Okay.
That would make the biggest difference.
Yeah, I think so too. You have to call me back though, Sammy. That's the only thing, because I need to know if this how this goes. I'm very curious about it, but I think you could even take him up a level. And how you present it is, I've got a great idea, babe. Like, you got to go into it, like, full on. Like, I'm going to, one night, I'm going to be a blonde because I'm a brunette. I don't know what color your hair is. But I always said, and I'm telling you, Sammy, I had a woman once. I was at Bloomingdale's, and I'll never forget this day. She was probably like 65 years old. And I remember sitting there, and I said to her, I'm a sex therapist. She says, you know what? I've got a piece of advice for you. And I said, what? She goes, my best sex advice for you is to get a wig. And I was like, well, what do you mean? I want to hear more. She goes, because when you put a wig on, you're a different persona. And anyway, I think that just says a lot about like playing a different character. You might feel different too, Sammy. So anyway, try it out. Let me know how it goes.
Oh, for sure. I will absolutely call you back and let you know. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're so welcome. Have a great night. Thanks for calling, Sammy. We have Gary 41 in New Jersey. Hi, Gary. What's going on? How can I help you?
Hi, how you doing?
Emily? Hi, good.
Long-time listener. Dating someone new. She's about 12 years younger than me. Sex has been good. We get along great in person. We're together. Now she's got issues over my Instagram. I'm big on social media. Very into fitness, bodybuilding. Very fit. Got a lot of followers. I follow people, other people in the industry, other women in the industry, other fitness girls. And she's very jealous over that. She's freaking out now. Said, I'm a pig. I don't want to be with someone like that. Disrespectful to me. You like the pictures. I'm liking it for the health, you know, the fitness aspect.
Yeah.
She's looking at some jealousy.
Of course. Well, that's her own thing that she's bringing to the table. How long have you guys been together?
Almost 3 months.
Okay. And she's 12 years younger. So she's in her 20s. You're 41. You know, here's the thing. This is very common. I think we need a name for this right now because this is a condition that's happening. Because you remember back in the day, you wouldn't know who your partner was. There wasn't anything like this. You didn't know who they followed or who they, whatever, but you're doing it for work. But she's got some other insecurities that aren't coming from you. I'm sure she showed up like this, right? Maybe she was cheated on by a past partner. Maybe her dad cheated on her mom. She has some genuine mistrust.
Yeah, that did happen. Her dad did cheat on her mom. No.
Okay. Yeah. So she doesn't trust men.
She's divorced.
And that's the work that she has to do. You're not doing anything wrong. It's part of your business. It's part of your... I would ask her, Gary, besides unfollowing everybody, what does she need from you to feel safe? Now, she could keep saying, unfollow these people. But you could say, besides that, because it's business, like you can't just... If I unfollowed all my other sex educator friends, they'd be pissed. They'd be like, why aren't you following me? Like, I get it. It's part of community. It's part of what we do. It's part of our business, having an Instagram, having social media. So so she's has
it's
deeper
not a business,
wounds.
Though, for me. I'm in finance. It's my career. Like, yeah, I'm very into working out. I compete, state champions, this and that, and coach people on the side.
Right.
So I try to build a brand. A brand. That's
got
not building
it.
A
Good.
Branding. Like, you have a branding.
Exactly. Exactly. I get it. It doesn't matter if it's your business or your brand or paying your rent. It's what you love. I get it. It's building a brand right now, and we do what we got to do. So what I'm saying is you really like her. It's still really new, Gary. It's only been a few months during a pandemic, and she's showing you who she is. I'm not sure that you're going to be able to convince her, because if it's not the Instagram, it might be something else. You didn't call me. You were flirting with the wait staff. I mean, has she done any therapy around this? Has she gone to therapy and realized that these are her wounds from her childhood? I mean, because you can't, I mean, unless you love her so much that you want to unfollow all these people and stop having active life on Instagram. You know, some people do that and they're cheating, right? Their partners find the DMs, they find the things, and then that is a problem. But I just think coming in after 2.5-3 months together and saying you're going to cheat and you're a name calling. And also to do it, she's doing it to protect herself because she's scared and she probably really likes you. Again, this has nothing to do with you, but maybe you could help her see that. But if she's got her mind made up and this is a deep wound, you could just say, what else, what can I do to make you feel safe? Is there anything else you need from me? Because what do you want to do, Gary? I mean, would you be willing to, I'm sure she's going to say unfollow everybody. Would you be willing to do that?
Which I've started doing. I thought I did it, and now I'm blocked because it's Instagram saying you physically are a bot and you're a machine and blocking me now from doing anything.
Oh, yeah, they do that. Well, yeah, that's really sweet that you did that, but Gary, it's not about you.
Yeah, it's about her, but...
It's emotional maturity, so all I'm saying is she sounds like she's very controlling. I mean, if someone told me to stop following people or liking things, I would feel that was a sense of control. If I wasn't doing it, if I was like really invested in the relationship, it's just so frustrating because you're both coming at it with values that are very different or expectations. She expects that all men are cheaters. You're not that guy. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was trying to tell her you're putting your past, you're putting your past and punishing me for it.
Right.
And she's just saying, no, it's disrespectful. You're giving attention to other women when you're with me by liking their pictures. And like she's stalking me on Instagram, stalking everything. And
well, it sounds frustrating, Gary. And I would have a talk with her. Just remember my tips for easy communication, timing, tone, and turf. Hopefully she can work through the issues at the root of that jealousy. Thanks for calling. I haven't done this in a while, so I thought it was time because we get so many incredible emails from all of you that you send to feedback@sexwithemily.com. And I love hearing from you. And lately we've been doing a lot of calls and I thought I got to get into your emails. So if you want to send me an email, you can send one through our website or the feedback and always include your name, your age, and how you listen to the show. And I'm cool if you change your name. No worries. This is from Shannon, 21 in Kansas. Dear Dr. Emily, sometimes when I'm having sex with my boyfriend, my vagina stops getting wet. It'll start off wet, but midway through sex, it starts feeling dry. I'll still feel turned on, but my vagina just isn't wet. My boyfriend will finger me beforehand, but sometimes not long enough. Could this be why? My boyfriend doesn't do much foreplay in general, but from time to time, he will finger me for a good amount of time. But even if he does, it doesn't stay wet. What do I do? All right, Shannon. First, I think the problem is education. This is why I'm a huge proponent of lube. Get some lube, just leave your lube out and just apply and reapply if you need to. Educate yourself and your partner and just know that using lube is protective first off, because then you won't have any, you know, when we're dry, sometimes we tear and we can get infections. Vulva owners are more likely to orgasm when we use lube, and I'm just a huge fan of it. And also, our wetness level, while it's important, isn't always an indicator if we're turned on or not. And in fact, different times of month, maybe it's your cycle, we can be more wet at certain times and less so in others. Sometimes we're wet at the beginning of sex, but we're not wet at the end. Everything you're describing, I think that many, many vulva owners have experienced. Your boyfriend, you know, while he's putting a finger inside of you, you might need some other forms of arousal. You might need some kissing and you might need some slow undressing. You know, maybe oral sex would be great for you. Because for so many vulva owners, the magic is happening externally. So sticking a finger inside of you right away isn't necessarily going to be what's going to keep you turned on. You might need some light touching outside on your clitoris, your labia. You know, he could put a few drops of lube on his hands and start to rub you outside. Maybe that would really turn you on. So I think it's a combination of understanding that lube is your safety, just have it there, and also explaining to your partner that maybe you guys could experiment with other ways of pleasure and other ways of pleasing you, and then you get to learn when you're going to be turned on and most aroused. It's also not really safe for us to go right to penetration, whether it's with a finger or a penis. A lot of vulva owners need some patience. We need it to be slower. We want some care. And we don't want to just go from zero to penetration. This is from Cam Rias, and he is 30. Dear Dr. Emily, I've been a fan of the show for almost a year now, and I've heard this topic come up before. Many do not consider porn as cheating, but what about paying to see OnlyFans content? Is that cheating? Okay, here's the thing about cheating. Every relationship, right? There's two of you in a relationship, let's say, you both get to decide what cheating is. What constitutes cheating? Is it talking to someone about an intimate issue? I typically don't think that watching porn is cheating because masturbation is part of a rich and healthy sex life. But OnlyFans is interesting because there's more interaction. If you're paying OnlyFans and you're paying a particular performer to do something or to interact with you, that sort of might be crossing the line. And if it's something that you're afraid to share with your partner, that leads me to believe that you yourself might not feel that great about it. What is it that you're getting from OnlyFans that you don't think that you can get from your partner? So again, I think that having a healthy conversation, if you're in a relationship with someone that you feel close and intimate with, it's so freeing to be honest. It's so freeing to be open and say, hey, I've got this OnlyFans account. And sometimes I flirt with this person and I pay some money to her account. But I want you to know that it fuels my fantasy and my desire for you even more. So what it's doing for me is actually helping me be a better lover to you. So I think that this could be tricky for some people. Now, there are people you could date that'd be like, do you, boo, like pay for whatever you want. Our sex is awesome. I don't care what you do when we're not together. So I think if you're asking me, you got some guilt around it, then you might need to want to look at yourself and say, why am I paying for this? What am I getting from it? And is anything that I'm getting from this stranger something that I could actually be getting from my partner? So take a look at yourself and take a look at the health and the honesty that's going on in your relationship. All right. Thanks for the email. That's it for today's episode. See you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast. And share this with a friend or partner. Believe me, if you got something out of it, they will too. We release shows on Tuesdays and Fridays, and look out for a bonus episode every now and then. Find me on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all at Sex with Emily. And I've been told I give really good newsletters. So sign up at sexwithemily.com and don't forget to check out our blogs. If you want to talk to me, ask your questions about your sex life, dating, or relationships, email me. feedback@sexwithemily.com or call into my SiriusXM show Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, and call me, 888-94-STARS. That's 888-947-8277. Get a free 30-day trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM. You can watch my masterclass on masterclass.com/Emily Morse. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.